We are turning the Word of God this morning to Psalm number 31 and verse number 15. And it's the first part of verse 15 we are going to be considering for the Lord's Day today. We read, "My times are in thy hand." My times are in thy hand. The verse in context from verse 14, "But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." We are continuing to look at this subject of comforting texts for troubled times. And the times in which we live can very aptly be described as being troubled. There is trouble and difficulty all around us. We have the coronavirus currently in our nation and throughout this world. But that's not the only trouble that we are facing. There is sadness, death, bereavement. There is illness. There is sin and wickedness is crime and injustice. There are all kinds of things happening in our world at this present time that can be described as being troubles. And in these times of trouble, of worry and perplexity, it's important we come to the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth, for our comfort. Because in the Scriptures we have objective truth, as opposed to the empty optimism that is often put forward by either our politicians or those in the media. In the Scriptures, we have an eternal perspective, as opposed to the very narrow view that man has, only able to discern and look as far as a very short period is concerned. In the Scriptures, we are shown, and this verse in verse 15 tells us, that this world is not here by chance. The events that take place are not some random accident, not some collision of circumstance, but are there by the appointments of God. Furthermore, in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, we have the one that we can turn to that brings real peace, true and genuine perspective and comfort in these times of trouble and perplexity. In this little series, we have looked at various texts. We have looked at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And the comfort that we had there was that although church buildings are closed, we must be very clear, church buildings are closed and not the church is closed, the Lord Jesus Christ is still building his church. He is still extending his kingdom. He is still with his people. And the mandate that he gave to his people to fulfill that great commission remains, to bring the gospel to every creature. And the Lord Jesus promises his church throughout every age, to the very end, that he will be with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the world. We then looked in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And then Solomon is anticipating the people of God are going to backslide. They have proved it in their history so many times, and he is praying at the dedication of the temple that the Lord would provide for them a way of return when they would inevitably sin and depart from God. And Solomon makes his prayer and acknowledges how liable the people of God are to wonder. We only need to look at our own hearts to see the truth of that taking place. And as God answers the prayer, he did bring to them, the people, that there was judgment for disobedience. And God responds to that call and said this, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And that's a wonderful comfort to the church that has backslidden, to the people that have backslidden, and to the sinner that has never come in faith to Jesus Christ. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And so, when we experience the displeasure of God because of our sin, there is that opportunity, that way, to return to the Lord. And perhaps for us, in this time of lockdown, we are being called to seek the Lord, to evaluate individually, collectively, the state of our hearts. And there is that way of return, forgiveness and restoration through Christ. And so it is a comforting truth. We've looked also how the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the one that brings peace with his Father through the shedding of his blood. True reconciliation. And when you see people today giving ideas as to how we're going to get through the next few days, how we might have peace and harmony, how we might get back to some degree of normality, it is vital for us that we have truly that peace with God. It doesn't matter what this world is thinking, unless we have peace with God, it will avail nothing, particularly on that eternal day of judgment. We've then looked at that wonderful text of 1 Peter chapter 5 that reminds us and exhorts us to cast our burden on the Lord. What a motivation we have. The Lord loves us. He cares for us. And there we have one that is able to help and to succour in every problem and every situation, whether they are the large problems of life or indeed the small problems of life. We've looked at the Apostle John, and we saw how he was an isolated believer. We can identify with him, separated from God's people, alone on the Isle of Patmos, for the word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And how the Lord comes to his servant, his aged servant, and gives to him a wonderful panorama of world history from that eternal perspective. And it culminated in that glorious conclusion of the final victory and the triumph of Christ and the perfect redemption of his church. And so John was encouraged and helped and strengthened that although he was isolated for a season, the Lord was with him and the Lord was working out all things for his glory. And for us, it's helpful for us to have that end of the story, if you like, to have that conclusion of the matter being brought to us. Because when we are facing difficulties and troubles like we are currently, to know that there is a better day ahead of us is truly remarkable and wonderful. And so we thought about the way in which the future does encourage us for the present. We looked at the servant of God, Job, that one of the Old Testament. And although that man had lost everything, in a sense, he still retained everything. Job had tremendous faith that even though he lost his family, his wealth, his fortune, he lost all of his friends, he had lost his health, he'd lost everything in that respect, yet he had something that could not be taken from him. That although he would die, although his body would be laid into the grave, he had that sure confidence that he would see his Redeemer. And he knew his Redeemer. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And that he would see his Redeemer with his resurrected body, and that he would be with him. And so although death may come, and death will come to all of us, for the child of God, they know that death is not the end. It has been described as being a comma. It's a pause, if you like, for the great conclusion of what is about to occur in the glories. And death is not the end for any one of us. For the child of God, it's instant heaven, it's instant glory, awaiting that resurrection. But for the unbeliever, it is instant judgment, awaiting that resurrection as well, but the destruction that will then follow. To turn back to think about our text in Psalm 31 verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." This is the Psalm of David, and he knew when experienced troubles of life. We see very much now that as you go through the language of Psalm number 31, such as the enemy have laid privily for me in verse number 4, I feel troubled, verse number 9, he says that my life is spent with grief, verse 10, I'm a reproach among all mine enemies, I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. And so David knew what it was to experience the onslaught and attack of the evil one. So we're thinking about today, with the Lord's help, all of our times being in the hand of God. We're going to think about our hands being, our times being in the best of hands, and also the implications for this. So what are the times that we have before us? Well, the psalmist said, my times are in thy hand. He doesn't say, my times in the past were in thy hand. But he is saying to us, my times present are in my hand. He's not even thinking so much about our future times, but although knowing that that is true, all of our times are in the hand of God. Not one type of experience is left out. Not one type of problem is excluded, but all of our times are in the house hand of God. In Ecclesiastes 3, we have there David, Solomon, David's son, writing those words, giving us a panorama of the times of life. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And here David, Solomon, David's son, is looking at the phases and experience of life, looking that everything has their season and their purpose. So as we think about the seasons of life, we can put it this way, we have our first time, we have our best times, we have our worst times, we have our end time, and then we have our eternal time, if we can put it in that way. But thinking firstly about our first time, it is comforting to us to know that our first time, the day of our birth, indeed the day of our conception, and the manner of our birth and conception, has been ordained of God. Very often with childbirth and pregnancy, it is viewed as nothing more than a biologic consequence. That's perhaps why people today can justify abortion and the termination of the child in the womb, because it's seen as nothing more than inconsequential cells. But the language God uses in his word is very different and very comforting and portrays a different view. When Adam was created in the garden, the Lord formed him from the dust of the ground, then breathed into him, and he became a living soul. What does that show to us? It shows to us that God is concerned. God cares. There's precision. There's nurture. There's a desire to see there's something that's reflected the character and being of God. Adam was made in the image of God. In a similar way, that Eve was formed, not from the dust, but this time from the rib of Adam. Not haphazardly, but the actions of a loving creator. And when it comes to Psalm 139, we have those wonderful words that describe how we are made by God in the womb. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes could see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. It's a baby that's being formed in the womb is being brought to pass by God. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. The time and the circumstance of our birth are in the hands of God. It wasn't an accident. Jesus was born at Bethlehem, laid in a manger, not able to have a proper room to be born into this world. It wasn't wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident that Moses was born at a time when infanticide was being utilized by Pharaoh to control the birth rate of the Hebrews. It wasn't an accident that Sarah or Hannah or Elizabeth or others were barren and couldn't have children for many years. And it can be very easy for us to forget this, that at the time and point, the appointment of our birth and the families in which we are born have been ordained by God. My times are in thy hand, and that includes our first time. Very often people perhaps will get crippled by regret or anger to the families they're born into. Not all families are happy and loving. Many are dysfunctional, perhaps even abusive. Perhaps we were born into poverty. But to remind ourselves that our times, even from the very earliest point in our life, are in the hand of God, should bring us comfort and perspective. It also should remind us that not every pregnancy results in a timely birth and a happy and healthy baby. There may be disability, there may be illness, there may be birth complications, there might even be miscarriage. For those souls, we must not forget that they are in the hands of a gracious Heavenly Father. My times are in thy hands. Our first time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are shown in that passage concerning something of our best times as well. In Ecclesiastes 3, we have language that is used here. Time to build up, time to heal, time to love, time to dance, time to embrace, time to get, a time to sow, time to speak, time of love, time of peace. These are the best times of life. In this life that we live, even though it is a life of sorrow and tears, we do know some measure of joy and happiness. Perhaps they're not as frequent as we would like, or indeed as frequent as the sorrows of life occur, but we do know what it is to have happy times. You may think about marriage. Weddings are happy times. Birth of children are happy times. Watching children grow up are happy times. College, university, career successes can be happy times. Experiencing the wonder of God's creation can be happy times. We have so much to be thankful for. How God has blessed us. And there are reasons for us to give thanks and to be happy and to be joyful about such things. If we are a believer, then there was a day which we might describe as the best of our days, the best day of our life, that conversion that we experienced. It probably followed what we may be described as the worst of times, when we felt that sin being so heavy and such a load. The hells of hell were so close to us, that perhaps we felt that we would never escape, that we would never get through this, that only hell awaited us. But then the gospel came, and peace flooded our hearts. We were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought into union with him, and we have our sins forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. We were once on that road to destruction, but now on that road to light and life. The best of days. And when we think about that, he has purposed everything. He has arranged every event, so that at the appointed time, his appointed time, we were brought by those cords of love to the Saviour. And how this fits in with what we were thinking about last Lord's Day, chosen in him before the foundations of the world. Although we were ignorant, rebellious, disobedient, treacherous to our God, our times were in his hand. And if we are his, our best day was this, when he saved us. Well, we have our first time, we have our best times. We also have our worst times. Again, looking at Ecclesiastes 3, we have the language there that Solomon employs. It's not all plain sailing as far as life is concerned. He says there's a time to die, there's a time to pluck up, a time to kill, a time to break down, a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to lose, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to keep silence, a time to hate, a time of peace, a time of war rather. In providence, life isn't always easy and plain sailing. It's not always a good and pleasant time. There are times that occur to us that are contrary, perhaps. Things seem to be going against us, we so believe. Things are hard going and rough. Again, with Job, he felt that everything was against him. Yet in the extremity of his suffering, he professed this: the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Psalm 23, we have that lovely psalm of the way in which the Lord, our shepherd, leads his people. There are the pleasant waters, there's the still streams that he leads us by. But then, as well, there are the valleys of the shadow of death. There is a table prepared in the midst of our enemies. And it's clear that the good shepherd in that psalm leads and guides to every circumstance of life, even the worst of circumstances. Very often the purposes of God are best served in those hard times. We learn more with the rod of affliction than we do with the blessing. In times of trouble, our faith is tried, it is proved, it is refined. Now just imagine you had the ability to make a chair out of wood. It could look like a chair. And you think to yourself, that looks a fine chair for me to sit on. But the only time you could tell whether it was fit for purpose is whether you tried it out. You have to sit down on it. And when you sit down on it, you then discover whether it takes your weight, whether it does what it's intended to do. Take another picture. If you're driving in the country, you come across a ford, not the car, but a river or stream that crosses the road. As you go through that ford, you are told to test your brakes. Because when you need to use your brakes, perhaps at a critical moment, you need to know that those brakes work. And our faith, it needs to be tested. It can easily weaken. It can easily malfunction with unbelief. By testing, by proving it, it can be strengthened. And when even greater, more critical issues cross our path, we can be encouraged by past deliverances. If you look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, after David has lost everything, everything has been taken captive, when he was in Ziklag, he encouraged himself in God. He reminds himself how God has been with him. And so in these times that we find ourselves in, to remind ourselves that our best times are in the hand of God, but also the very worst times of life are in the hand of God, that should bring comfort to us. The hands that secure us cannot be overthrown. We'll think about that a little bit more this evening. The hands that hold us will not or cannot let us go. The hand that upholds us will not bring circumstances beyond our ability to cope, because he is holding us. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, we read there, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Many of God's people today are going through the worst times in their life. But we can be comforted that those times are in the hand of God. Well, with the Lord's help this evening, we'll then go on to think about our end time, our eternal time. We'll think about the best of hands that we're in, and then with the Lord's help, we'll think about something to do with the way in which the implications have an effect upon our life. Again, apologies for the interruption in the transmission, but we do pray that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts, and may he be glorified, and may we hold on to this fact that my times, from beginning to glorious end, are in the hand of God. My times are in thy hands. Amen.